Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the 23rd of December, 1991. A blizzard falls over Stockholm, keeping its traffic to a standstill. 100 kilometres away, a car has crashed in a ditch, and three bank robbers are fleeing from it. The police don't know the identities of the men they're chasing. But Stefan Thunberg did.
Hi, my name is Stefan Thunberg. I'm the co-author of The Father. I'm also a screenwriter in Sweden, but most of all, I'm the fourth brother who follow robbery after robbery from the inside.
Hi, I'm Anders Roslund, co-author of The Father. Today I'm a best-selling author, but back then when all this happened, I was still a TV reporter at the biggest news station in Sweden, and it was my job to cover this three-year-long period of brutal madness.
Together they are Anton Svensson, and this is Made in Sweden, the six-part podcast about the incredible true story that inspired their novel, The Father. I'm Ed Wood, and this is a family tale like no other. Episode 6, The Black Bag. Now we're reaching the end of our story. We've left your family on the run, Stefan, in a snowstorm. And now we know who that third figure was. It was your father.
Yes, it was.
And we don't want to give away any spoilers for the end of the book, but that, so we won't say exactly what happened after that, but tell me how finding out that that was your father, realising that that was your father, affected you.
In so many ways, because this was the last robbery that the gang did. The 10th and the last. And the irony in that my big brother, Leo in the book, and my father, Ivan in the book, and in reality, was doing this last robbery together. It's so bigger than life in some strength way that after 20 years of conflicts between these two persons, my brother and my father, they are doing this. And they are hunted down, the police force are hunting them. And what do a father and a son say to each other under that extraordinary circumstances? What do they say? Are they trying to reach each other? Are they trying to solve the conflict between them? Are they trying just to survive? What are they saying to each other? It's that situation... I have had that situation in my mind for 20 years, and when me and Anders start talking about to break this reality down and then puzzle it together again as fiction, and we start talking about that, and when I told Anders about this episode, about these circumstances, father and son escape from the police under these circumstances, he told me that we need this because this is the heartbeat in this story. You know, everything in this story is about this conflict. And we have to work with this because the problem was that the only thing that I couldn't ask my big brother or that we had anything, you know,
from investigations or so?
We didn't have that investigation, you know. We didn't know what happens in that cabin. We didn't know that, me and Anders.
So what did you know? What,
that they
putting
were,
the novel aside for a moment, what did you know and what happened after, avoiding the end of the book, what happened after that to everyone? So firstly, what did you know about what was going on? How much evidence did you have?
You mean for this special occasion, for this last robbery?
And generally, how much did the police have? How much evidence did the police have about the crimes?
Until this point, they didn't know anything about the group, the members. They were still faceless. They were still without names. They were still unknown. They had no context. They had no criminal records. They were nobodies or faceless shadows, really. It was not until they were caught, they were being through all these trials, that's when it was all sort of in the open, that was not the ones we were looking for, because the police during all those years were expecting very, very experienced bank robbers, because it was so perfectly done, and the behavior was indicating that they were older, more experienced. So they concentrated, they were focusing on experienced bank robbers. They slowly, when they found out about the military pattern, the organization, the operations, really, they were searching for experienced elite soldiers, or mercenaries, based upon the pattern, really. And then after this, it was found out that it was all really revolved around three young brothers, around 20, the youngest 17 years old, and their young childhood friend.
And what was the public reaction?
That was, of course, surprise. Surprise for me as a reporter, followed this group for so many years. It was surprise in many ways that it was experienced when they did it, that it was possible to do this being unknown. But also it was a tragedy, of course, finding out that this is a family. It was three brothers, it was a father, it was a girlfriend, it was childhood friends. And it was also, they were carrying a name, a last name, which was very unusual in Sweden. So, of course, it was even more focused to one family.
And Stefan, you were part of that tragedy, as Anders describes it, the tragedy of a family built on difficult foundations. How did the court case, the headlines, how did it affect you in the years at the time and in the years to come?
A lot, because it was something every day for 6 months.
Did you have to testify, by the way?
No, because it was so obvious that I was not part of it. It was, Anders laughed when he read in the investigation that some of them talked to police and they asked if I was part of the gang, and they answered that, come on.
Stephen is not aware of how to buy an apartment, how to fill in a form. He can't be part of this group.
He can't hang. it was
very obvious. Stephen was, if I had been a police officer, I had been sort of suspecting him as a member for much longer time. But he was, after just a few weeks, he was no longer a suspect. So Stephen, that was among the first things he said to me, I trust the Swedish police.
So where did this leave you afterwards?
Afterwards was like the newspapers and the news reported about my family for 6 months, every day. It was, you know, my friends, they asked me a lot, and, you know, I couldn't talk to my brothers because they were under this, what do you call it?
There's no rights to restrict it to meet anyone, to talk to anyone.
No. I remember talking to the police at two times, and they come home to me and they asked me if I could follow them to the police station, and they wanted to talk to me, and we talked a little bit about my childhood and my brothers, and I remember lying to them because they asked me if I know anything about my brother's robbery career, but I said no, so I lied there, I remember. But it was a difficult time for me, it was, really.
And you changed your name eventually.
Yes, I changed my name too.
Because it was impossible almost to get
worse. We were six persons in Sweden that only my family had that name. was Shumonya. So it was a very, very, very special name.
And yet, here you are today, talking about your family, writing about your family in fiction form, at least. You decided to go back to it. Why would you decide to do that if it was so painful?
Because of that situation, because of the situation that I talked about earlier here. What do a father and a son say to each other under that circumstances? The circumstances that hunted by the police in that blizzard, you know, it has followed me since then.
But what made the decision to write the book, the final?
I think it's a combination of time, 20 years, and that I met Anders. I think that combination is the answer to that question. Because I needed 20 years and I needed a good storyteller. And I'm a storyteller by myself, but it's easier if the story is so close to you, if you have somebody to work with, especially if it's a talented story.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Storyteller.
Is it fair to say that Anders has almost been your therapist?
No.
A little? The book has been your therapy?
Yeah. Don't mention the black bag now.
I think we should mention the black bag now. Anders, do you want to tell us about the black bag?
The black bag, that was something I should have reckoned, of course, and you should have counted with that as well. We should have seen this coming. But Stefan was so quick. He was fantastic in the beginning, sort of changing. When we were talking about this, he could say, the mother, the father. And I said, no, it's your father, it's your mother. No, it's the mother. So they were sort of transferred in his mind quite quickly into characters, because that was the way we had a saying. Our mantra was not ever rat out. It was another mantra. It was, let's break reality into pieces and build it up as fiction. That was our mantra. That was Stefan's way in, and that was my way in. But you can break it and build it up as fiction as much as you want. So it is a story, yes. It is a novel, absolutely. But sometime you need the reality. You need the reality to get the skeleton, which is supposed to be a body around, a bottom plate to sort of spill your story above. And at this point, we needed the full investigation. Also, the inquiries with
the
Stefan.
The
preliminary investigation. It was since, because it was not just one, it was so many. It was investigations from that bank and that bank and that armed truck. And there was that one, devastation endangering the public. That's the bomb. That was that one I have never seen before. Attempted aggravated extortion against the police. We needed all that, which was the truth, the naked truth, even that we made it as fiction. So it's been a while, it's been 20 years, and we tried to locate those investigations, and then we found it in her cellar pan. It was Stefan Junge's brother. He had saved them in a big plastic bag.
He had all the evidence in his cellar.
Yeah,
Vincent.
All the evidence, 6,000 pages of investigation in a garbage black bag. And we got there by my car, and we went back to Reimersholm, which is a small island just in the heart of Stockholm where I have my writing studio. And it's on the fourth floor, so I carried this up the floor, the stairs, and it was heavy. It was ungainly. It was like carrying a body. And so when I opened the door to the flat, I sort of just spilled the content out of the wooden floor to get rid of it. And there Stefan was sitting in my black sofa, because he was sitting there always when we worked. It's just a one-room apartment. And then suddenly it was as if I had been carried a body up in a plastic bag. It was an odor from 20 years of a dead body coming out, because that was the truth Stefan never had read, never had seen. He had avoided intentionally, and it sort of spread to your place in the sofa, and it looked, searched for you, and you were so scared, Stefan. You were felt so heavy anxiety, and he actually ran away from me and from my apartment and from work for a long time.
Tell me how you felt, Stefan.
You know, the walk, the balance walk between reality and fiction is really hard when you tip out the black bag full of history and history from your own brother's crimes. It's hard to see, because they have hurt a lot of people. To understand that and read in the investigation, you know, the letters that all the people that they have hurt have written to the police and things like that, you know, the crime victims. It was really hard. For the first, all that. But secondary is that you never ever you can't escape the reality, even if you try to build it up as fiction, because you have to understand all the characters in your story. And to understand your own family in that kind of way is... I didn't understand at that point what really happens to me. But for me, it was like, I'm digging in my family. I'm digging in my family's souls, like, and try to understand them. I try to understand them together with Anders. I share my story with him, and we try to understand it. I try to understand them from the police character in the book. I try to understand them. I try to understand why all this had happened. I try to understand the conflict between my father and my oldest brother. But what I didn't understand really was that what I was doing there when I worked with this project, with this book, with Anders, was that I rat out my family.
The one thing you were told never to do.
Never to do. So I, on a subconscious level, understand at that point that what I'm doing now is to go against my father's words. Never ever rat out your family. So I get so scared. But what everybody should
what
I now bring
of?
Bring it up again, out with it in the open, and everybody can read about it. Because even if this is a story, a fiction, it's so much from my reality there, really. So,
do you still feel as though you've portrayed your father?
Yeah. In that point, I did. Not anymore. Because I think this is the best thing you can do if you have a story, is to tell the story to an audience, to a public, to anybody who wants to read it.
Did your brothers agree?
Yes and no.
How did they react to the book?
Felix in the book, my second youngest brother, he read the book first.
Because we just had one copy.
We had one
copy.
Point,
so it wandered between them.
Yeah. So he take it first. I say, I read it. And he called me up 12 hours later. And I could hear on his voice that he was not happy. But he told me that, Stefan, he said, I hate you, but I love this fucking book you have written. And then he threw on the phone. And he didn't talk to me in 9 months. That was his reaction.
Vincent, your youngest brother?
He didn't say anything. He read the book 3 times. He listened to the audiobook 5 times or something when he was like before he went to sleep. And he was didn't say anything to us in 3 months. Then he called me up and he told me that, yeah, I understand now, Stefan. This was me when I was 17. It's not me anymore. That was his reaction. Because he was, you know, he's the silent of us. You know, he don't say so much about what he feels and things like that.
And I guess the one most people would want to know about is, how did your oldest brother Leo feel, the driver behind the robberies, the central character in The Father, the novel? How did Leo feel?
He wrote a mail letter to me and Anders and explained what he feel. It was, he really liked the book. He understand now at what he had done to his brothers and other people in the world, you know, cashiers and things like that. And but I couldn't really reach him because he had a hard time, what I understand, to read the book, especially the end, you know, between actually, why don't I call him up and ask him
now?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let's call him.
Hej, brorsan. Du, är det bra?
Ja.
Okay, I'm going to talk English to you now. I'm going to ask you two very personal questions. So, is that okay?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. The first one is, you remember when we were children and this episode with the Molotov cocktail?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, after that, the consequences, the police was interrogate you or something like that. Yeah.
Interrogating, yes, something like that.
Something like that. And that talk after that, that from our father, that you had rat him out in that situation, is that true?
No. Well, I was only a child.
But you didn't do that then, no.
No way.
No. I understand.
You know what he always said? What happens in the family stays in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course not.
Of course not.
Asked, you know, I never told anyone anything.
No. I know
but
that.
Still.
And then I have a question about the book.
Well,
you know the book?
The book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what did you think about the book?
You know, when you first, you gave me the script, the book, and I was reading, and I started reading, and I couldn't drop it. And I read the first, say, about 400 pages. It took me not even two days, because I couldn't let it go. And then I almost threw it in the wall, because I couldn't read the finish, the end. And it took me almost something like 2 weeks before I could even pick it up and get through the end.
And why?
Because I hate failing.
Yeah.
Failing. That's prohibited.
But what can I ask you, what, you know, in that cabin, what did you and our father talk about? What did happen in that cabin?
A lot of things happened in the cabin. And I don't really want to go into that, but you know what? That's something between him and me, and it still is.
Yeah. So,
and I remember when you start reading, and when you start working with the script and you start working with the book, you know, I remember how hard you tried and how hard you tried to write the truth away.
Yeah.
And the harder you tried, the closer you got. The closer you got to the truth. And I can't imagine how close you got in the end.
Okay. So the book was good at 400 pages.
I loved it. You know that I love the book. I love the book still. Mm. And I just wished that it was about somebody else and another family, not ours.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love the book all the way. even though that you know what I'm thinking about and feeling about failing. And failing, that's a monument. That book is a monument about my failing. My biggest failure of all.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, I love you anyway.
I love you too, brother. Okay. You know that.
Made in Sweden was presented by Ed Wood. The authors were Anders Roslund and Stefan Thunberg, and the producer was Gavin Osborne. The Father by Anton Svensson and published by Sphere is available from Waterstones and all other good bookshops. The audiobook, recorded and produced by Chatterbox Audio, is available from Audible now. The Made in Sweden podcast series was recorded at the RNIB Studios with post-production by Chatterbox Audio. This has been an Ashet Audio production.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.